Welcome to the Creative Play and Podcast Network. Join us as we review our favorite RPGs, collectible card games, MMOs, video games, PC games, and bring up interesting topics and things that we'd like to share with everyone. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Kelly, a.k.a. Trixie from Ragnarok and Roll, assigned to Ragnarok Story, and Tilda Wimblewick from D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. First off, I would just like to say thank you to everyone for listening to our varied adventures, as well as for rating us on iTunes and RPGpodcast.com. If you haven't rated us yet, we would greatly appreciate it if you could. And if you're looking for more ways to support our efforts, we are now on Patreon, a great site where you can help us continue making more podcasts, as well as some special surprises for our patrons. If you can, please look us up at www.patreon.com/cppn. Every little bit helps. And again, thank you for listening.
So this is the cosplay and photography panel. This is what you attended the MTA also. If not, it's certainly something that can be helpful to anybody. So whether you're using your phone or fancy camera or dressing up, it's good. Isn't that funny that we don't wear watches like we used to?
New pocket watch.
Especially in a, you know, steampunk setting. I think everyone would have watches.
So, here's something interesting. When you're talking about photography, for example, it's really helpful to have visual aids. Visual demonstrations, am I right? And so typically I have a laptop and projection capabilities to do this. It's awesome. But I'm new coming in that we wouldn't have that here. But that doesn't mean that we're all at sea. How many of you have a smartphone? Most of you, all of you. If you're okay with your data, what you can do is you can go online right now to www.costumeartist.com, and there's a gallery that accompanies this outline, and I'll give you the password, and you can access it. We can kind of use what's on your phone. You can see what we're talking about with each bit of, yeah, I'm giving you a minute to do that. I have 4 children, and one is chronically ill, so I need to respond to this just very quickly. It's probably nothing.
Can you repeat the website, please?
The website.
It's www.costumeartist.com.
Costume artist is one word?
Yes. Kids come first. When you get there, there should be at the top of the page some options for different parts of the website, and there should be something that says cosplay, photography, or store. When you click on that, it's going to ask you for a password. The password is Wild West.
Which one do we
find? I'm sorry. Is anybody
there yet? I think so. Modeling?
You okay? Yeah.
Modeling photography for cosplay?
That's it.
Yep.
Okay. And does password work?
Yep.
Super? Okay. This is. You have to understand, I've never done this before, and it was just kind of my emergency catch. So y'all are going to kind of experience this with me as a beta tester. So we're all beta testers, yay!
Costume art, and it'll take to WordPress. It's costumeartist.wordpress.com.
Okay.
But if you Google in costumeartist1word.com, you can see that.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Should have one of this. That's it. Yep.
It's a WordPress site.
And then
has everybody gotten there yet? Anybody still trying to find it?
It's costumeartist.com.
Mm-hmm. And they pick lots of pictures on it.
I apologize for the workaround, but it's better than me describing how the light's working here. If you're having trouble going directly to it, you may want to use a Google search and just put in costumeartist.com. On Google, and it should.
It's like the number one that pops up.
It should be the number one result.
Oh, got it.
Yay!
And what am I looking for now?
At the top of the page, there is.
Where it says menu?
Yeah, it says menu. And. Yes, that's it.
See, I don't have a lot of dots. So.
Yeah,
but it might come, the next thing should be a blank spot with a place for password and passwords for all the lists.
You can look at mine.
I'm just going to go ahead and talk a little while we're waiting to kind of see how this works, this experiment, this grand experiment. I appreciate all of you being here specifically. This is my first time to this part of the country, and it's magnificent. And so I've never been to this event. I've never been to Arizona. And I've been a complete child since I arrived yesterday. There's a cactus. There's another cactus. Stop. There's cactuses. It's Birmingham, Alabama. So no cactuses, unless they're in the succulents thing at Home Depot. This is a magnificent part of the country. I'm embarrassed that I haven't made it out this way before. I've flown over it a time or two. And speaking of flying over, we didn't get too much altitude coming in from the east to Tucson yesterday. And so we were really between 10 and 30,000 feet. And I could see a lot of what was down there. And I got wind seat. I kept just snapping pictures with a note. What is this? What is this? Where are the trees? Where's the grass? What are those big circles? Is this solar? There's so many questions. So there'll be probably on my Facebook a stream of window pictures needing explanations. Feel free to fill me in on what I'm seeing. Poor Jim that drove us here this morning, he got the brunt of it for me. What's that? What's that? Why are your roof pitches like this instead of this? Do you have basements? Do you have attics? What's the largest wildlife that you see around here? I'm sure he thought it was five. He was very gracious and did tell me a lot. And so he's probably going to pass off the drive home to somebody else, though. Don't bring up mountain lions or bighorn sheep. You can't shut her up. But I did come from Birmingham, Alabama. I was born and raised there. I travel around generally kind of the southeast, east coast, mid-Atlantic area, doing conventions as a costumer. I'm surprised as you because I don't have little skills, like leatherworking skills. I don't know how to make armor with a foam. I'm really kind of talent free. I'm also poor, and so I can't afford to go to the fabric store and buy lengths of fabric, so I have to go to the thrift store and find big pieces of garments that I can salvage fabric out of, and then hot glue it into the shape of the dress, or staple it, staple fabric. Velcro zip ties. Most of the costuming I do is alternately created. It's made from someone who really wants a costume really bad and just cannot afford to get the real materials, the original materials to make something. So some people call me the desperate steampunk, and it fits. And it works. And it works for me. You know, I get to do what I want, and I'm not encumbered by the lack of talent. And I think persistence and poverty are powerful drivers. So that's who I am. But I've had the good luck, because of the costumes I made, which are original costumes in the sense that I don't have the skills to duplicate something. I can't duplicate Lady Mechanica. I can't duplicate Steampunk Rogue. I don't have the skills or resources. So I have to make something entirely up. And so I know it's correct because I imagine it. I can't be wrong. I've had the good luck to work with amazing photographers. And when I say amazing, I mean professional photographers and people who have a really good eye with an iPhone, because it all counts. A photographer is someone who wants to make your picture, and you can add other addendums and prefaces and prefixes to it. But I feel like the highest form of compliment when you make a costume, when you make a prop, when you make an item, if someone wants to point their phone or their camera at it, that's the highest compliment that you can get, because they not only are interested in enough in it to make a picture of it, to capture the image, but maybe to keep it, maybe to share it with their friends. I think there is no higher compliment. And so I think that it behooves both the photographer and the person in costume to bring everything you can to the table to help create the best image that you can get with the resources to hand, whether it's the setting, whether it's the things you have on you. It's important for everyone to kind of go all in with as much knowledge as you can and be ready to do it on the fly. Because to be honest, not all of us are going to arrange special photo shoots where you can control the environment, control the lighting and these things. Most of us are stuck amongst cactus or in a sweaty hotel lobby or the sidewalk at a martial parade. And there are ways to use those venues and ways to get successful images of your work or of other people's work, even in those environments. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So everybody set up for the website photo tour, such as it is. Let's see how this works, guys. And I appreciate you being patient with me, because I just... The first image that... Because we'll be going left to right, top to bottom. The first image is kind of that orangey-colored one. If you can see that, that is me in a costume. It's made from trash and kids' coloring books and glue.
Show us what you're doing.
I've seen your
page. It's the cosplay and modeling page.
Costume what?
Are you on the website?
I don't know. You're a costume artist. Okay. Oh, that's the thing.
That'd be awesome stained glass.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
know.
Okay, actually, it popped in.
I just put that there because it's one of my favorite costume photos. This was at a photo shoot. This was not in a sweaty lobby. This is in a mining tunnel where I'm at in Birmingham in Sloss Furnace. But it is a good example of using the elements that are there. This costume is really tall. It's really colorful, and we kind of wanted to to show that off. And so the photographer picked that spot because he knew that tunnel would be interesting as a backdrop. He knew that the periodic light, overhead lights, would be interesting to help illuminate the headpiece.
Is there a light in the ceiling?
There is a light in the ceiling.
Oh, that's cool.
But the stained glass is actually on my head. Yeah. It's not stained glass, it's paper. It's paper.
All
right. So once you have this image up, I think, yes, you can just swipe with your finger. This is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so tech challenged, you guys. I appreciate your patience. So I have an outline to speak from just to make sure that I don't forget things. And the first is really going to speak to the people who are wearing the costume, but it's important for photographers to be aware of this and perhaps ask these questions if you do have a one-on-one photo shoot with someone, because it will guide your request for certain images. The most important thing you can do is know your costume. Know what it does. Know if there are parts that aren't finished, parts you're not happy with, parts that you think are just, you know, not there yet. Because you can still wear that costume and you can hide it. And I'm just going to give you an example. What I'm wearing. I made this purse out of, this is a thrift store purse. It says Prada, surely God it's not, okay? Because it was in the thrift store. Don't anybody tell me this is real because I ruined a Prada. But I found two thrift store belts and I thought, well, maybe if I could hook them onto this and then hook this interesting belt, I can make it crossbody and have this interesting purse, yet it's interesting here. And I need to hang it together with something that's not a zip tie. And so I got a piece of leather and I did my first two rivets on it. And they are crooked and the wrong color. And it's awful. And it's right front and center of my costume. I know that this is bad and somebody's making a really nice photo. Here's this thing that's bothering me to death. I know my costume. Here's how I fix it. May I have your picture? Sure. I grab it every time I put my hand over it, so I've hidden it. You can do that. If you have a costume malfunction where something rips or tears, give it a minute, figure out how to pose, and hide it. Know your costume if it's flexible. Don't wear your costume out for the first time, and then because your costume, your character typically leaks about, if you're wearing platform shoes or you're wearing super tight leather pants, maybe leaping isn't in your wheelhouse for that particular costume. So it's good when you have your costume on to discover what you can do. I'm looking at what you're wearing, for example. This is beautiful. This is completely beautiful. If I were wearing that, or I was expecting someone to make my picture, which I'm sure people are, because it's lovely, I would probably, in my hotel room, lean back against a bureau and just kind of see what I can do, how far I can go. Yeah, because this will kill you right here. You know, can you lift your leg after putting on something? Can you crouch? Can you bend your arms? And how far can they go? Know what you can do before you ever leave your house or hotel room, because you don't want to surprise yourself, surprise a crowd, or the police when you which I'm not speaking from experience. And if anybody says that, they're lying. So what I've got here is this image of this girl. She knew that what she wanted to highlight in this picture. That backpack was phenomenal. And the front was beautiful but standard. And so she, when she got the photography, this is a staged photo, but I saw several of these from a convention before I ever saw this. And she knew to turn her backpack at an angle toward the camera and look over her shoulder, chin up, and do that because she knew her costume. She knew what worked well. She knew her goggles were turned to the side of the hat. So that's resolving in the image. Those are kind of the things you want to think about it when you're trying to know your costume. The next image is me. I'm using images that either me or I know these people, and it's okay. This is me, really proud of the glove and the arm piece, but it doesn't really show up in a lot of full costume images, so I want to put it forward and show it off. That's what you want to do. If you have the thing you like best about your costume, figure out how to show that off. You're a photographer, whether it's a professional, whether it's a kid with an iPhone, they're not going to know what you're most proud of. It's your job to show it to you. talk about flexibility and crouching. Seriously, I cannot recommend being careful with that enough. There's another image of me wearing bits of this costume, and I'm crouching. But I really took my time getting down because I'm old, and I could break a hip. And these are railroad tracks. So there's a lot happening that needs to be taken into consideration. Actually, they're not active tracks. But I wanted to be really... I didn't attempt this before I left home. But I sure did take my time to kind of get down into it and thinking about it. And I'm not saying I got up with any grace, but now I know I can do that in this particular costume. And so maybe sometime I'll do this on a perch. It'll be interesting to try. I'll let you know, or my emergency contacts will. Look at that. Movement, you want to know how you can move in your costume, like can you walk quickly? Does it have a cape? Because a cape does not get any action unless you're kind of walking and giving it a little bit of guts to fluff it out. Or maybe your hat has a veil and it's going to be more interesting when the wind's blowing, but there's no wind. Now, can you spin around? How can you move? You want to know that before you wear your costume outside. Can you get out of a moving car? Important. This girl right here, you see the nurse, Silent Hill nurse, switched to that yet?
Mm-hmm.
She's already dirty, so it was okay for her to really kind of get down on that rusty grate and crawl around. And she knew what she could do with this, and she knew it wouldn't matter, so that's okay. You don't want to attempt this as something nice that you've made, but you made something that's supposed to be dirty, okay. This is, the next image, is Tony Smoot Ballard. He's an amazing costume builder. He's also like a martial arts instructor. So, of course, this picture of him leaping over a railing, well, that's just showing off, but it's beautiful. I have a signed picture of him doing this because I've talked about it so many times, being just a magnificent image. And in my mind, he just came down the stairs and just leapt over the rail and was just, you know, completely swoon-worthy. So he came by my house. He's from Cincinnati. He came by my house last year, I guess, with some friends to shoot in Birmingham. And I said, hey, Tony, you know that picture I'm always talking about? So he just leapt over the rail and he looked at me and he said,
No.
Well, eventually. And I said, well, you mean you had to do it a couple of times? And he said it took 28. We did that 28 times before we got the one that worked. And I said, well, can I see the outtakes? And never, nobody would ever see the outtakes. So that took some work, but you can do that.
Yeah,
if you know,
from a photographer's standpoint, for taking those type of shots, motorized drive is your friend.
Yeah, I guess just, what does it mean? I'm a photographer that needed to go, okay,
yeah.
See? I just spoke photography. It goes, and now you know, so it's not a secret. This next picture of a guy leaping from the steps of a cemetery tomb, that's James Atkins, and he's in a vampire hunter costume. And he also did a lot of leaping to kind of get this one image that worked. But he knew that his costume could handle it. And the photographer was patient. And so those are things that... It worked out. It's a good picture. I don't know why. Oh, I do. I don't know. I did this literally the night before I got on the plane, so it's a little shabby. This is a picture of me in a Darth Nihilus Star Wars costume. I can't really remember specifically why it's in here, because the next subject is know your environment. And it's about choosing your background and not getting lost in it. For example, in this case, that red background is a really nice frame for an all-black costume. All-black costumes are cool when we see them in comics because, you know, artists have a way of making the folds and the lines and the things work. Photography, not always, unless it's a very specific kind of photography. So it's important to work with the light and listen to a photographer when you're trying to shoot something like this. But if you're at a convention in all-black, it's on you. You need to find the light colored wood, you know, the open spaces, contrasting colors, and trying to stand in front of those for the pictures. This is also me, and again, I apologize for too much me, This image, if you can see it with the blue background, that was made in the middle of a mob of 60,000 people. Literally, I could reach out and touch them on either side. So many people. But the photographer really wanted a picture, and he knew where he wanted to shoot it. And he said, there's a fountain, and I want you to just sit on the edge of the fountain. And it was dark. How is this getting the best picture here? But he could see what I couldn't, because I'm wearing a mask. I can't see very good at all. But he put me in front of a fountain with just got a sheet of water coming back there, and just tightened it in just enough that you couldn't see the thousands of people literally in my armpits in this picture. So it taught me a lot about, yes, it would be nice to have a vista of mustard yellow behind me for this blue. That's not always going to be available, and it doesn't have to be huge. You know, if you can find just a little niche of color that contrasts what you're wearing and standing in front of you, in front of it, that's entirely useful. The next image is kind of a mohawk thing in front of some peeling paint background, if you can see that. That's my Siri costume, and it's inside an old theater. And we were looking for ways to... It's got a lot of black, it's got a lot of dark, it's got these different, you know, prickly elements, and it needed to be shot to get something very different. So the sky blue and the yellow was working, and the light helped. When you're wearing something that is like this color, this is gorgeous. If you're wearing that, you don't want to stand in front of, for instance, red, but you might use a color wheel and see what the opposite color is, and when you're going to an event, just kind of eyeball the hotel walls or the venue walls and see, you know, what's the complementary color to that. And on your spot, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, owning your spot, because it's important. You want to be aware of lighting where you are. It may make sense to stand under a spotlight, but really, not always. What it's going to do is shine down. It's going to make these lines show up here and here. And it's not always the best idea, but you can stand behind it, or to the, something like that, a spotlight, behind it a little to the side. And even if you can look at that, that's going to help. You know, first of all, get your chin off the costume to show what's happening here. You want to be the person who's aware of light. Don't always expect someone to be watching it for you, the person who has your iPhone. The person with the iPhone is blinded by your amazingness because they may never have seen steampunk before. And they're not thinking. And so it's your job to kind of think for them. They say, can I make your picture? You say, sure. And you walk where you want to be. And you pick your place. And you look up. And you get... It's going to help them be so much happier, and you too, if you ever see it on Facebook, trust me. So you're looking for your opposite, essentially, when you're looking for contrasting. Environmental elements are fantastic. If you see them, cones, even something like this, but if they did, maybe you could open it and hang your arm on it, it's really interesting bracer. And you can pull this out, hang your interesting bit here, and turn and look at the camera. There are things around you that you can use to lean on, to clutch, to reach around. If you have a gun or a weapon or some kind of interesting prop, things that you can prop them on, like the edge of this pew, or maybe that bench up there, like resting it on the corner. There are elements around you that will add something to the picture and help you pose more comfortably instead of having to just do your thing. You'll be glad to find those things that will make you more comfortable. That is. Sorry. Kids, send me that. So we talked about environmental elements like columns, fences, balconies, stairs, railings. Those are interesting. If they're around, you know, kind of go up, see if you can go up the stairs, look down, you know, maybe be at the bottom of the stairs, photographers up the stairs, let them look down at you. If you don't want to be looking down, I don't want to look down. Just awareness of your environment is going to improve your photos. And don't wait till someone asks you a picture. You've already picked your spot. You've already kind of thought, I want my picture made there, and you're standing near it when that person walks up to ask. Come on, let's do it. Keep them with you. But move to that place that you know is going to be really good. Know your character is important. I apologize for my distraction, my kids. I've got two more images here. There's a girl with fairy wings. Y'all already seen that? That's a brilliant use of contrast. I styled that picture for another costumer and photographer who asked for my help because he's a brilliant photographer, but he doesn't necessarily style costumes like he wants, and so he invites me to help. But that's you're putting that wing out in front of the light so you can actually see it, and getting it away from the messiness of the rock behind. This is a friend of mine, Ryan. She's not necessarily in a costume, but she's really flexible. And so with this background of the kind of cross-hatched window, and she's leaning and hanging in it with kind of that S-curve. It's an expression, I think, that professional models use. I don't, but it's something about like raising one shoulder and dropping the other and toward your hip. That's supposed to create a very interesting feminine shape. I'm trying it. It works sometimes. Sometimes I look like I've had too much to drink. Not that anyone does.
Yeah, so less like that, but too, you don't really have to worry too much about how you're done, but you're looking at the shadow.
Mm-hmm. That is, there's a picture of me coming up. It's got the bird mask, and I'm reaching around a column. That is use of elements. I wanted to show off the gauntlet and the glove, and so there was that pipe, and instead of me constantly trying to because you only did that so many times, it was easier to come around and rest on that and really let it kind of do the work, let the element do the work of showing off that part of the costume. There's a picture of me dressed as a Iowa warrior from Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time. I'm a fan. This was there was a window in the old mill when we were out in the woods. We were shooting a bunch of old time costumes. That window was just begging for somebody to climb in it, and that costume is incredibly flexible and stretchy, so not a problem. I both knew the costume and I knew that character would be perfectly at home sitting in that window waiting to stab someone. So that worked. This is another example. This is Siri in a narrow hallway. I didn't plan this. I was waiting for a photographer who was photographing other people, and he said, "You're in my shot, like, get out of the way." And so I had nowhere to go, so I went into this hall and was just kind of standing out of the way. And so he finished taking his pictures, and he looked down the hall at me, and he said, "Just stay there. Just stay there. Lean back. Bend your legs out, put your hand on the wall." And it ended up being a really perfect kind of framing for the costume, but I was just, what was essentially a me getting out of the way, it was an opportunity. But now I look for those all the time. Is there any hall with the window at the end of it to light it up? Because it's kind of great. I had labels on these images that helped me track, and they have come off in the world. There's a picture of a girl in front of a waterfall. Have y'all seen that? That is Brianna Lamb. She's an actress in Atlanta and a costumer. And this is probably maybe Katniss Everdeen or Tomb Raider. I don't know which costume this is, because I'm not sharp like that. But did she choose the perfect spot to pose for a costume that is not very elaborate? But it's clean and it's live, and just popping up in that rock in front of the waterfall, that was her and the photographer both kind of looking at that and thinking, how can that work? And that's ideal to really show off what she's doing. There's a picture of a girl standing under a light at a convention with her wings. Can you see that? Where I said ordinarily you don't stand under a light, this works okay for her because it looks angelic and she looks like you know, the light of heaven is kind of shining down on her face. And I saw this picture being taken, and this girl picked her spot. She was at DragonCon, a huge convention, plenty of people. I saw her stand there without photographers, but just stand there. But as people would come by and see her in that light, you know, come make your picture, she knew. She had got her spot, and she knew how to look up. And so there were hundreds of people making pictures of her. She just stood there. Whether or not anyone was making a picture or not, she stood there. She staked out the spot, and it was super smart, worked out for her. So did this girl. This is Melissa Sauer in her room. It's not Maria Fanette, it's some other fancy name. Madame, yeah, that's it, thank you. I got the Madame wife. This is her gown, and she wanted to make it available to photographers to shoot, again, at DragonCon, and she chose a lovely background and just some wooden doors with some interesting brass on them, but it worked for her costume. She chose her spot, and she just stood there. And it's, I'm going to say this about being in a costume and choosing your spot. It's not necessarily comfortable to know you've got a costume. Not everybody in the world's going to want to picture it, but some people will. But to act like you're posing, like the painted man, the living statue, it's not really like that. It's okay to just find a place and just be there if it's a good place for your costume to be photographed. But it will feel a little uncomfortable when nobody's walking by and nobody's pointing a phone or a camera at you. It, you might feel a little silly for a minute, but it's worth it. It's, I feel silly when I do it, but I do it. You know, just kind of stand there, look around, check the phone, do whatever, but I've got a perfect spot to show the best parts of my costume. And then people start to come, and I'm going to get a picture. I'm ready. I've got the spot, and there it is. So you will feel that discomfort.
I found, too, that if you find or stumble upon an extraordinary spot for your costume, and one person takes a picture, and then you may find 20 people come, all of a sudden there's a lot of pictures being taken, because people, they may not know consciously, but unconsciously they know when a beautiful picture and costume is happening.
They do.
And it draws them to you.
It does, and it draws other people. If people see pictures being made, like, what are they making a picture of? Well, I'm going to make that picture too.
Also too, if somebody's shooting you with one of these, you'll attract the cell phone. As well as other people.
Yeah, I've seen that happen for sure. We talked about knowing the character. There's a picture of me staking out a spot. Yes, that wearing that stained glass costume outside the elevators at the Marriott Marquis in Atlanta, and it's out of the way. That's important if you're in a crowded event. To not stake out a spot that's in the way. Because you'll damage your karma really. Because people will hate you for blocking traffic, for getting in their way, for holding things up. If you're going to stake out a spot, it needs to be on the periphery, on the edges, or even slightly off site from the convention if it's something you've planned or scheduled. This is a dead end, so I'm entirely out of the way. And if someone stopped making a picture, they were not blocking an elevator or other people's, you know, right to walk. So my karma was intact that day. And the pictures were kind of awesome. They really, they turned out good. All that I saw on Facebook after the con were good because I thought I chose the right space. I'm going to talk about props for a minute because this is a little bit of a pet peeve for a lot, well, not just me, but most of me. Weapons, guns, rifles, swords, poles, any long weapon. It feels like an instinct to point it at the cameraman when he's shooting you. Your gun, your pistol. It's never, ever going to be the photo you want. One thing is going to change the focus on some cameras to the hole at the end of the gun. It's not showing off your gun at all. And it's kind of a contrived photo. It's doing nothing for your costume, nothing for the photographer, nothing for the weapon that you made. Hold them in profile or at an angle. I've got a picture here of a guy really showing off his weapon that way. Now, no, he doesn't look like he's perhaps ready to kill you. I don't know who this character is, so maybe it's okay for him to be at rest and ready. But this is a much better picture. Lightsabers too. Wanting lightsabers if cameras is just that's not going to work well. Your lightsaber is going to look this long if it's even slightly available. Or it's going to look like a red dot. So do something different with your lightsabers if you have them. If you have some kind of long, cylindrical, or tubular weapon. She's got hers crossed behind her head, and I thought that was clever. This is, again, Tony Smoot. He's got his pistol. And he's still got that kind of elongated effect, but he's still got the pistol aimed slightly to the side. And I'll show you an exception to this pointing your gun at the camera. Well, there's John Strangeway in his Jedi robes. He's holding his lightsaber actually behind him, you know, doing kind of an over-the-shoulder shot, but it's behind him, and it's highlighted against the contrast of color of his robe. That's a great shot. There's Tony with his weapon in profile. Pistol held up, hat head down, showing off his hat. It's nice. This is the exception. This is Tony pointing his gun right at the camera. And this is an exception because he and the photographer coordinated the idea of this. The focus is the opening of the gun, the gun hole, I should have named for it. The muzzle hole. The focus is right there on them, but his goggles are repeating kind of a motif behind it, and they're not in focus. And this was, it was meant to be like that, it's kind of an arc shot. You know, if you're going to do an arc shot, that's okay.
Yeah. One thing to mention too, probably most people shoot with prop guns, but if you're shooting with a real gun, make sure, especially as a photographer, I shot with real guns, I made sure the fact was clear, and I never ever allow to shoot point the gun in my direction or anyone else's.
Yeah, that's always safety first. The next picture is Brianna Lamb with her bow and arrow. I've seen so many bows and arrows pointed at photographers. It's like y'all want to kill the guy off the camera. It's almost never going to be a good picture unless you're really specifically framing an art photography picture. It's just not the best idea. This is gorgeous. It's so much power and grace in this, in profile, instead of her shooting towards.
It's kind of a shame with a lot of the weapons because people put a lot of work into them, but you're not showing it off if you're just pointing it.
I've had people send me pictures of their weapon to, because they're proud of it, and I can't see any details because they're all pointing right at the camera, and I said, look, just lay it on the kitchen table and give me a picture of it because I'd really like to see what you did, but I can't tell from your photos. This is John Strangeway in remnant armor, but he's got his weapon kind of at rest. Something to consider, it may not seem like it's threatening if you're not pointing your gun at a camera, if you're not pointing the gun, but the implied threat, the implied danger is sometimes more powerful than the actual wielding of it, whether it's a sword. This is just a really pose with the weapon, because this makeup is beautiful, and she's just holding it up kind of behind her head. It's not about the weapon, it's about the shape of the weapon. It's beautiful, it's graceful, she's lovely and beautiful. That's really nice about makeup artist photo that incorporates her weapon. These weapons at rest. That's Robin and Brian Mead from Atlanta, Georgia, and then I guess this is Gears of War costume. But I'd be scared to death of them. There's a potential for violence in this picture. The weapons are presented violently, and you can see the detail, but they're not pointing it at the camera. But it's still, it's like contained violence. You can get the feeling you want in the picture with your weapon without pointing it. This ended up out of order. This beta version of this is going to need some work. Got a police box with Al Fox peeking out of it. That's kind of fun. That police box was at a convention, and it became a prop, an environmental element for a lot of people to use. That's Al in the police box. That's my son in the police box in an alien costume. That was fun. They both chose to use that. Something else about, we talked about the point of the weapons. Awareness of your body and your eyes is, it gets forgotten. When people ask to make a picture, very often you look at them and you smile or you frown, scowl, whatever it is you're doing. It's not always the best thing to do. I think that you'll find when someone's making your picture, especially if they've got a camera, what you call that when there's a camera?
Motorized.
Okay. Yeah, they have that time camera. So they're making several images instead of just the one or two cell phone images. You can look at them, but then don't. Look away. Turn your eyes one way, turn them another. Look past them like you're looking at something in the distance. Look up. Look down. Look everywhere but at them. And those pictures end up being more natural and better pictures than the kind of class photo, staring ahead, looking at the camera. Give them one eye contact, but after that, shift your eyes a little bit. It'll help with flash issues. Sometimes people still using a flash when they don't need to. Experiment with your position and change it just subtly. Some of the best pictures that I get when I'm actually working in a photo shoot or working with a professional photographer in a public setting is to keep moving. He wants my picture, that's fine, but I don't know what's going to work in that moment. And so if I'm wearing my Sister of Battle, Warhammer costuming, I get the one. But if he's still standing there making more pictures, that's when I start to change and lean forward and lean back. Look away, look down, cut my eyes back at them. Just do something different every time. 6 out of 7 are going to not really be what you thought they were in your mind, I promise you. One of them is going to be magic.
Yeah.
One of them is going to be magic. Don't hold your pose and waste every motorized click of that camera in your one pose. Just don't. Because if you're getting it wrong, you're going to have 7 images of getting it wrong. So, freeze, but change and move. And it feels so silly doing this because I'm not a professional model at all. But when you start to see the images come back from your friends or from the guy at the convention or at the expo, you having changed your positions, you're going to go, oh, I hate that. Oh my God, I'm famous! Famous! What's Grandma's number? And I texted this right now. This is why I do it, Grandma. Stop shaming me! Like I have to live that. So the small moves and multiple frames are really important. That's probably the one thing that I've shared to personally and in panels that people come back and say, oh my God, here's my photo set that I did, and I did the thing with the eyes and the look away and the turn your head, and I get it now because they have been booking time with photographers, sometimes professionals, sometimes just amateurs who wanted portfolio stuff, but they did that. I want a picture, they have in their mind the picture they want is them, the bow of the Titanic sort of thing, and so they made probably 20 of that. And none of them really worked out very well. But if they went up on the bow of the Titanic and they made 2 or 3 of that, and then they made some leaning back, then they made some one-handed, and they made some looking away, and then they let go and they fell. So, yeah.
That's one to one.
Also, I'm not speaking from experience. Some of us in steampunk have personas. We actually create a character, an adventurer or a villain. Or a hero, or a questionable character. Unless you have a sign that says, I am, Madam whoever that did this thing, and I'm very scary matrix. You know your persona. And it's okay to demonstrate that in the photography that you're making. If you're a villain, just be a villain in the picture. Give them just a stink eye as hard as you can. Smear, don't spit. Do the things, or if you're a flirt with the camera. Go ahead, wink if you can. I hardly blink in this context. Do the things that your character would do, and I think you'll be happier with the picture. And specifically, the steampunk, because persona is an important part of a lot of the costumes. I want to talk very quickly. How are we all doing? Talk about actual planning of a photo shoot for everyone involved, photographer and the photographer, etc. You need to, if you're planning a shoot with someone, and I'm just going to say, your friend with a nice camera all the way up to a professional, expensive, that sort of makes his living and is famous for it, photographer. As a cosplayer, very often people will approach you and say, I'd love to shoot your work. I'd love to get pictures of your costume. And that's a compliment. And receive it as such. But don't say okay until you know more about the person asking the question. Say, do you have a card? Do you have a website? Just, you don't have to say yes just to get good pictures. You need to get information first. And that is true as well with photographer. If a cosplayer comes up to you and says, I really want you to shoot my stuff. Well, you need to know shit, right? And you need to make sure that you've got other people around to avoid accusations. There's a lot that goes on in just the coming together of the subject and the photographer.
One thing I should mention too, if you go with someone professional, even amateur, you may be required before they'll shoot you to sign a thing called monologues.
Well, that's coming up next.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, I got that. But that's just where just contact between the two. Don't just say yes, but give yourself a call, get the contact information, and both of you do a little research, because there have been things that come up in this community that. And disappointing. Even just the images sometimes can be disappointing. Sometimes someone will want you to completely gear up on your stuff, and you go look at their costume photography, and they are very much in the beginning stages of learning how to turn a camera on. And you want to encourage them. And so in that case, don't be discouraged, but say, you know what? I only put this on mostly for conventions. Go attend Wild West Con, and I'll meet you for a little bit on site, and we'll do that. But to be expected to put on all of your stuff and do all the hard work for someone who barely knows went into their camera and drives to a site and sign a release because they didn't have a release. Just know what you're getting into. And if you feel like the benefit is good to both of you, then pursue that, but protect yourself and protect your time and your energy. You want to know about contracts. Some times you will have a model release or a contract for you to sign. Read it and pay attention to it. In my case, when I sign these releases with certain photographers, I make a deal with them. I don't sell anything. I don't make costumes to sell. I don't sell pictures of me. I'm doing this to please me. It pleases me. And so I have no interest in making money off of what I do. As a matter of fact, when pictures of me are published in books, I give royalties to the authors and sign them over. Because it's their work that made this Chevy look like that. And I'm just glad that it's recorded for my grandkids' record. So one day I can say, I was at one point cool. Or interesting, I was interesting. There's proof here in the book. But the releases I sign grant me the use of the images in any way that I want. He doesn't own the images, but he can use them any way he wants. I don't use them for anything except putting them in these little photo sets like I have here today. Put them on my website, put them on Facebook. That's all I'm using these images for. I'm not going to sell them. But it's worth reading because they may make a completely beautiful picture of you, and you need to be aware that they can put that in the magazine. Or a calendar, they can do things with it without consulting you at all, and that may be okay. It's okay with me, because I'm just not that attached to it.
Yeah, the standard release for models basically gives a photographer complete use of it. The one I use, I spell out it's for non-commercial use. It's no money to change its hands. That's what I do for what they call trade for grants. One other thing too, about who owns the photo. The person who owns the photo is not actually a model, but it's a photographer. The person that presses that button, he owns a copyright, and that does not change.
The photo contracts was removed. Release, you didn't access, you want to just confirm what kind of access you have to your images. Something else I do with photographers I work with is I ask them not to release them on their Facebook page until I have gone through, because I know what my costume is supposed to look like, and if there's a glaring problem with it that the photographer doesn't see, because he loves the look of it. I like to go back and say, you know, between these two, can we use this one? Here's why. And we talk about it. I have a really good relationship with the photographers I work with, because, you know, it's a conversation. It's not just me taking from them or them taking from me. Thanking the people that make your picture is super important. If it's someone with a very nice camera at a convention that took time, pulled you aside, got some great photos, thank them. If it's a 10-year-old kid with a throwaway disposable camera and took time to make a picture, you thank them. Anyone that's giving you that high compliment of capturing the image of you in your costume, they deserve the reciprocal appreciation. Thank them. Sometimes you can't because you're in a mask. You can do this. Thank you. You can nod. You can point at them. There's just something there. Acknowledge the compliment. If you have pictures that a photographer's made for you and you're posting on Facebook, please give them credit. Please don't call the watermarks. And please don't, like, boost the signal, boost your image without crediting the person who helped craft that image, because they put their kind of energy into it too. It's the two of you that made that image cool and beautiful and what it is. Pixel fans, and this is the last thing before, because I know that we've got something happening right now in the back. People come out sometimes and want a picture with you. Don't touch them without permission. You can put your arm behind somebody and not touch them. Sometimes they will touch you without explicit permission, and there are ways for you to kind of step out of it, or, you know, make yourself comfortable if you can. But don't touch someone without asking their permission. Sometimes you're in a costume that it's going to look really great if you kind of grab them and scare them or whatever. Just say, is it okay if I touch you? Is it okay if I rest my hand on your shoulder? It's protecting both of you. So always ask those questions. Do you mind? Is it okay? And get that communication, because it's going to get a better picture, and it's going to keep everybody safe and protected that way. So I think that's covered just about everything here. Does anybody have a last minute question for?
Yes. I just want to, I'm sure it's you, but you had a panel at the Chattanooga Choo Choo the first year the steampunk was there?
Probably.
Yes, because you had the Surrey costume on. Was the most outrageous costume I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You had just made it, I think, then. And
thank
it was
you.
The ties across the top and the telephone, the twirly telephone.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was the most fabulous thing I'd ever seen, and there was not a single thread sewn on it.
It was a catastrophe of glue. And
you had such great costume ideas. I learned so much from you then.
I appreciate it. Well, I'm doing a costume.
Using belts and using...
I'm doing that panel here at this event. It's called the Desperate Steampunk. I think it's on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Y'all should come.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a comedy of errors.
It is just wonderful. Thank you so much.
Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Find me on Facebook, either at Costume Art, and if you have questions or if I got something wrong, let me know, because I'm still learning too.
Yeah, one thing, which I should mention from a photography standpoint, you've paid a lot of attention to your two webinars. From a photography standpoint, taking a picture of it, you know what your flaws with the costume, somebody else worry about it. Second thing is, always be confident.
Thank you for listening to the Creative Play and Podcast Network. And feel free to enjoy our other shows, such as D&D Journey of the 5th Edition and Scion Ragnarok and Roll, a Scion hero to Ragnarok story. Thank you for listening.